is above. His name is above depression. His name is above loneliness. Oh, his name is above disease. His name is above cancer. His name is above every other name. That is who you are. That is who you are. Jesus. And that is who you are. Oh, I know that is who you are.
Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We build people. CSIC is a church whose mission is to love all people, win them to Christ, build them in discipleship, and send them out to fulfill their destiny. At CSIC, our core values are inclusion. We thrive on diversity. Everyone matters. It's exciting. Worship, discipleship, fellowship, evangelism, care. CSIC loves people, all people. Hashtag love win, build sin. Check us out on Facebook at Carpenter Shop International Church or on YouTube at CSIC Media. Or join us in person on Sundays at 10 a.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Good morning, Carpenter Shop Church. Let's get standing and we're ready to worship this morning. How many of us believe that we serve a God that is just great? He's so great at so many times in life. And we just come to worship this morning and bless Him and receive the worship. And we just receive what He gives us.
None like you.
is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand?
Presence, Lord. Tell him right now.
We belong to you.
Right where you are, can you just close your eyes and lift your hands? Focus in on Jesus right now. And begin to tell him, God, we belong to you.
We belong to you.
In the midst of your trial, in the midst of your circumstance. Oh God.
We belong.
Nothing else matters, Lord.
We belong to you.
It doesn't matter what the enemy brings against me. It doesn't matter what I'm going through.
We belong to you.
Every day, your presence never leaves me because God, you're good. You're good, you're righteous, and you're holy, and I thank you. We belong to you, Jesus.
For we belong to you.
Psalm 91 says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. You can trust him this morning. We abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And right now, I just sense God embracing us and reminding us that we are safe in his presence, that we belong to him. He never lets us go. And so would you just let the Father wrap his arms around you in this moment? Would you focus in on him and let him love on you today? Let him remind you how precious you are in his sight. Let him remind you that you belong to him. The Father says over you this morning, you belong to me, my son, my daughter, in whom I am well pleased, the one for whom I gave my only son, Jesus, who died on the cross and shed his blood. You belong to me. Come on, sing it out. Our hearts this morning. All we are is yours, Lord. We lay our lives before you today. We say, come and have your way in us. Jesus, we're hungry for you. We are thirsty for your spirit. Fill us today, oh God. Let our cups overflow. God, I just thank you for the temperature that's rising in this room even now. God, I thank you for the anointing that is in this room even now. Lord, we lay before you great expectation for today. God, we believe for miracles today. God, we believe for salvation today. We believe for signs and wonders today. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, as we give ourselves to you, we say, come, oh God, and have your way. And the people of God said, amen. Hallelujah. Praise to the King. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. It is so glad to be with you. We have a full house this morning. Are you glad to be among the saints today? Welcome to our church. If you're tuning in, thank you so much for joining us. If this is your first time with us, we'd like to meet you after the service at the Welcome Center in the foyer so that we can give you a gift and welcome you to Carpenter Shop International Church. At this time, we have a couple of announcements to share. As you know, we've been having our nightly revivals that started on Friday night. And we've been getting blessed every single time. Tonight is going to be night number 3. We have One more night tomorrow night, 7 o'clock tonight, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. It's going to be a powerful time, and we invite you to come out and receive your miracle, receive a fresh touch from the Lord. Let your heart be stirred. Let your heart be nourished. And also tonight, we have our kids ministry giving a snow glow party. Somebody say snow. It might be 60 degrees outside, but it's going to be snowing upstairs tonight. And your kids are going to be glowing in the dark. So get ready. They're going to have a good time. You don't want to miss it. And we have one more announcement, which we're going to show you on the screen, a women's event coming up.
Hey, Carpenter Shop ladies, I cannot wait to be with you on Saturday morning, February the 10th. We're going to have an amazing time together. Girl, get up. That's the message that I am going to be bringing to you. I cannot wait to see each of you. Invite someone that you know needs to be inspired for our time together. Ciao.
Praise the Lord. Ladies, make sure you sign up for that today. If you haven't already, there's a QR code on the screen, I believe. And there's also one in the Welcome Center after the service as well. So don't delay. Make sure you sign up for that. And now we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. Amen? This is the part where you say, thank you, Jesus. We get to give to the Lord. We get to give to the kingdom. Can we just give God a round of applause for the opportunity to give what we have to him? As you know, we've recently transitioned our giving model here at the church to something called Kingdom Builders. And so we have tithes and offerings, and we have Kingdom Builders. We've simplified things. We know that God says, bring your tithe into the storehouse. The tithe is how much? 10%. 10% goes to the storehouse. It comes into the local church. And then in 2 Corinthians 9, Paul says, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who gives generously will reap generously. He who sows generously will reap generously. And so we see that there's latitude above the 10%. In other words, God is inviting us to go above and beyond by his grace to give into the kingdom, because he knows that when we do, we will be blessed. Amen? And so we've made that really simple here at Carpenter Shop Church. When you want to give to missions, you give to Kingdom Builders. When you want to give to the purchase of the new sanctuary seats, it goes to Kingdom Builders. If you want to give to the new roof that we're about to put on the church, it goes to Kingdom Builders. Oh, I want to make sure we got this. When you want to give to the youth ministry, if they're about to go on a trip, it goes to... Okay, let's try this one more time. When you want to sow into the revival that's happening at Carpenter Shop Church this weekend, it goes to Kingdom Builders. I think we got it. You passed the test. Praise the Lord. A plus. If you're giving online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description box. If you're here in person today, just scan the QR code, whip out your cell phone, go to your camera, and then you'll see a link that pops up. Just click that link. It'll take you right to the app where you can give. If you're giving by cash or check, please include your email in the memo line. And by the way, giving statements have gone out. If you have not received it in the mail, check back here at the Welcome Center. We may not have your address. There are a few of you. But you should have received it yesterday or in the coming days. And now, as the worship team prepares to lead us into a time of giving and continued worship, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give to you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to partner with other ministries to build your kingdom. We thank you for missions, God. We thank you for the ways that you bless us, Lord. And so, God, we ask that you would bless the seed and the sower. Would you increase those who give today, Lord? Would you cause a blessing to come back to us 30, 60, and 100-fold? Lord, we set our eyes on you today, believing that you desire to bless us. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing in us, what you've already done, and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can make your way forward at this time to drop your offering in the buckets.
Oh, do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do. 'Cause we need a move. Yes, we need a move.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, lift up your voice to the Lord. We need a move, Holy Spirit. Come on. Come on, worship Him. Come on, activate His presence in your heart right now, would you? We need a move, Lord. I need a move, Lord. I need you to move in my family. I need you to move in my community. I need you to move in my finances, God. We need a move. Hallelujah. Move in me, O Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. You can be seated in His presence. Throughout the congregation, some of the guys are going to be passing out a few cards we have left. Listen, one of the easiest things you can do today, somebody say today, is take this card. These cards are really no good after Monday, okay? But you've got friends. You're going to work tomorrow. Take a few with you to work tomorrow and go around your office and say, hey, would you join me in my church tonight, last night, Monday night? And you can help us today to get people in tonight for Impact Revival. Have you had a good time in revival so far? We've had incredible services. Amen. Incredible services. I showed up on the campus of Southeastern University in the 80s. And one of the greatest sins we had to overcome was envy. Because there was a guy on campus that was just like us. He was a student. And all of us were there aspiring to be, you know, the next greatest preacher in the world, right? We just want to be a pastor, want to be a preacher. There were 740 students in my freshman class. 740. Now, 4 years later, 102 walked the line for graduation. There were a lot of quitters, a lot of people who left, a lot of people who it just didn't pan out for. There was one guy on campus that had to make some changes because he had a divine setup. He was the envy of all the preachers on campus because he could already do this thing. There was a heavy anointing on his life as a student. I remember walking that campus, and everybody heard about, hey, man, you Pat Slatchon? Yeah, that's him right there. And he was doing meetings. He was doing revivals. I don't think he could even stay in school. I think he had to leave and then finish later by correspondence. Is that right? The man quit school so he could fulfill the call of God on his life, all right? But later finished. But in those years, I was an older guy. You know, I was in married housing. And I thought, wow, what an incredible. You know, God, why didn't it happen for me? Because it's not you, it's him, okay? And God set him up. And I've followed him all of these years. And he's been here once before. And when I began to pray about impact, I heard the Lord just gently whisper to my spirit, Pat Slatchon, bring him in Sunday morning, Sunday night. And so would you give a warm, warm, warm Carpenter Shop welcome to my friend, Pat Slatchon. Would you do that?
My goodness. Can I just tell you, thank you so much. Can I just tell you how honored I am to be here? Yesterday afternoon, when we got off the flight and drove from Virginia Beach into Ahoskie, I pulled into the city limits and I said, God, you can pour out your spirit here. There's a legacy in this area. There's an anointing. I've gotten to be here. Pastor mentioned a moment ago, I've gotten to be here one other time. And can you do something really quick? Because the Lord spoke to me on December 5th. I may share a prophetic part of it at the end of the service. But December 5th, he said, for 2024, I want you to declare Psalms 24, verse 7, 7 days a week. And that verse is simple. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye ancient doors, that the King of glory might come in. I believe that this is the year where God invades. And would you do something very quickly? Would you? We're just going to welcome him. We're just going to give him 10 seconds of praise if we can do that, all right? Are you ready? Just stand up. Stand up. Hold on. Hold on. Because I'll never forget, years ago, I was in Australia preaching, and I walked out on stage, and there was about 20,000 teenagers, and man, I just drank the oil when you're called to wear it. They introduced me. It was something that, it was a fulfillment of a dream, and got back to my hotel room, and the Lord said, you're called to be my stagehand. You open the curtain. From this day forward, when you get up, you have them give me 10 seconds of praise. And I'll never forget getting that spanking. How many of y'all ever, I'm a redneck. How many of y'all ever got a good spanking? I got tore up every day. But I love a good spanking from the Lord. Because it proves he's not an uncle, he's a father. He doesn't just cheer for you. He guides you. So can we do something really quick? Because I feel like I'm at home already, because I've been watching y'all worship. Mm-hmm. I've been like watching, and y'all can get crazy, I can tell. I can tell this is a house that enjoys the presence of God. And so when we get out of here, when we get out of here by about 4 o'clock this afternoon, come back a couple hours later, I am just believing for a Holy Ghost shift, but first let's make him welcome. Are you ready? 10 seconds of praise. 10 seconds. Come on. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Give him a shout. Hallelujah. Now keep standing for just a minute longer. Because I feel like I've walked home today. Man, it's weird. I feel his presence and his glory here. But I got to do one more thing. See, I believe that honor rolls out a red carpet in your own life. Tonight I'll preach on the keys to the kingdom, and we're going to break some things tonight. We're going to release an entrepreneur anointing and priest and king anointing and hand out keys to the kingdom. We really are tonight. I asked pastors permission to share, and it's a brand new word I'm sharing tonight. So if you want to break some things, you want to be here tonight. But by the way, my beautiful gift from heaven, 34 years, Karen brings you greetings. She's my gift from God. She travels all over the world. Over the last 6 to 8 weeks, we've seen thousands touch. She was preaching in Brazil to thousands and told her story of being healed of leukemia. And instantly a lady's eyes that was blind opened right when she mentioned, and Jesus healed me. So she sends her love and... But one of the things I just believe, but there's my family right there. They're crazy. They're crazy. My daughter is a junior in college and future entrepreneur, Southwestern. And then my son is the Texas state rep. And he fights against injustice and fights for the unborn. Leads an anti-human trafficking movement. Trust me. Fights to come against the spirit that is trying to change the identity of a generation and lie to them. Are you going to hear? I'm probably going to make some people mad today. I'm just going to get it out. You're probably going to get mad at me because I just tell the truth. It's not about donkeys or elephants. It's about lambs. But I want to do one thing before I move into this. God has given you an apostolic leadership anointing over this house and this region. And Pastor Wallace and Pastor Joy, who I actually leaned over to him a minute ago, and I said, you're an apostle, you're not a pastor. And I said, so there's that. But he's given these two as gifts to this house. Who still does revival nights? That's just crazy. Yet he brings you here, and you lead over a region, and it's been good and tough at times. But I want to do it. I believe this with all my heart, because you're trusting me with this sacred desk, the two of you. You carry purity. You carry authority. You are a region shaker, and God's going to give you more deeds to lands. But I want to just declare over you that this house honors you, and we honor you on this special day every day. But thank you for walking in purity, because not all the guys we started with did. Some of them abandon it. But I honor you today. My family honors you. Can we show honor to our pastors? Come on. No, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's show honor. I'm telling you, I pray that over the next few years, everything that's happened up to this point is amplified tenfold. And we just thank you for trusting me today, having me back. And it's been a long time since those Southeastern days. And I was a crazy redneck back then. Hey, you may be seated. You may be seated across the house. I'm going to get into the Word. I've got to tell you that since last time we were here, you know, Karen and I, obviously, we love ministering and traveling the world, but we've also stepped into a priest and king anointing, and we've written many books, even since last time I was here. And if you haven't gotten Rebuilding the Altar, which went viral around the nation, around the world, actually, and or the most recent one, Restore the Roar, that came out right when COVID hit, How to Defeat Fear Through the Power and the Breath of God. What did COVID do? It stole breath, and it put fear in the body of Christ. And in that story, we tell about Karen was diagnosed with leukemia, and I may share some of that more tonight. But then God literally radically rewrote her DNA and healed her a year later. We talk about how to defeat those things. So if you don't have Restore the Roar or Rebuilding the Altar or any of these other things, but I brought something. I'm not preaching on this today because normally I do, but I brought you a gift for the Wallace household because I believe in the altar. The altar is the place where what you've been gets interrupted by what you can become. All through God's Word. In fact, I'll never forget when we got ready to write Rebuilding the Altar, the attacks that came. Karen diagnosed with cancer. Several things happened, but people even said, don't write on that. Nobody believes in that anymore. But I believe in the altar encounter. Psalms 118:26, tie me to the horns of the altar. But I can't preach on it today. But I brought this to you from Karen and I as a gift for your family. It's a little plaque on it. We had it made for you. You should see us trying to get these through security. It's crazy. But the Lord spoke to us when we wrote the book Rebuilding the Altar. He said, plant altars in pastors' homes all over the world. And we have, from Brazil to Portugal to places. But there's one thing that the altar does. It interrupts famine. Amos, the third chapter. Amos 9:11, reaper overtakes the plowman. All through God's word, when you rebuild the altar, the rain comes. You anoint the next generation, Elijah. And so I brought this here, and I'm just going, tonight after this gets over, I want y'all to take this home. But I had to give this to you because I haven't been here since we started placing altars. And you have to understand, when an altar is established, it changes everything. So I brought this for you. I just want you to take it home today, but pass it on to your grandchildren. Bathe it in tears. But an altar's not a piece of wood. It's a lifestyle. It's every day stepping into the encounter. And when you plant an altar, it breaks some things. So give God a praise right now. We just planted it. But I can't preach on it, but I can't go there today because I got to preach something else. But grab your Bibles real quick. I'm going to try to hurry and get into this word, but I'm going to preach a very different message today. One of the things that Karen and I do is we've helped 500,000 lose weight, take back their health. We love doing that. We believe in helping people walk in spirit, soul, and body. We do all of those different things. But the biggest thing that God uses us to do is to come in beside people like this, friends, and bring a word that may be a little bit different. In fact, I brought my lantern with me because of very one simple thing. I don't know about you, but when you preach truth, sometimes you feel like you're alone in the darkness. Because truth is the new hate speech, and the enemy of truth is silence. And we're living in a day and age where, if we're not careful, we're raising a Saul generation that loves worship more than words because it soothes their demons. In a day and age where Holy Spirit's been kicked out of a lot of places. I saw it here. Y'all aren't like that. People want Father, Son, and Holy Scripture. When you remove one third from 100, 33.3 from 100, it leaves the number 66.6. The spirit of the anti-anointed. So when you preach a message that is confrontational and you preach a message that offends flesh is tough. But I'm in the right place, am I right? A place that loves his presence. A place that is desperate for him. So I'll just set that right here. But I've got to share a word today about the power of the preach. The power of releasing a word across a house. Tapping into what heaven is saying. It's kind of like this. When the captain says, raise the sails, he cannot make the wind come, but he can prepare for it. And over the next few minutes, I believe the wind's going to hit the building. You say, well, you're crazy. I know. But I believe this. I want to live somewhere between amen and there it is. I want to be a mobile upper room that when you walk into places, demons dive out windows. And I'm just going to tell you, over the next few minutes, some of you are going to be healed in your body. Since Karen was radically healed of cancer, standing on stage in Brazil, preaching to 25,000 women, at that moment, God healed her. I was here in North Carolina, speaking at the Billy Graham Center. And at the same exact moment, God says, the storm is over. For some reason, we've begun to walk in the healing anointing. I don't understand it because we had never really walked in that. I mean, miracles happen, But I want you to get ready for this. Don't worry about the football game tonight because the Lions are going to win. But that's another whole thing right there because I was born in Detroit. So you got to understand. Now I live in Texas. And so, but there's a stirring in my spirit to help you understand why we do services called Impact. Understanding that something is in the atmosphere. So I'm going to preach a message called Resonate. In fact, it's a formula right underneath it, and I love formulas. It's the weirdness of my mind, but the repair, the resonance, and the awareness. Let me prove a verse to you. The Bible says in Psalms 107, verse 20, he sent forth his word. So in other words, something is hanging in the atmosphere. Healed them and rescued them from the grave. In other words, sound travels. In other words, something is being spoken from heaven right now over this place. Something's being spoken over this life. You're over your life. You're not an oops. You're not an accident. You're not a nobody. You're somebody. So God sent me here to preach the power of the preach. Understanding that when you preach, many times it's like 8 hours of labor. When pastors get done ministering, there's a reason why you're exhausted on a Monday morning. It's because you've just released something. And I've had the privilege of preaching the word for many years now. But you have to understand, the Lord said, preach on the power of the preach. Realizing this morning that maybe something could shift in the atmosphere. The power of the word released. One of the things that happened during COVID is we learned how to stay home and watch church on our phones and change churches on our phones. And so many of my friends said it's been a struggle to get people to come back to the house, even though Hebrews says don't forsake coming together. The writer of Hebrews, which I believe was the Apostle Paul, you have to understand. And so God said, I want you to restore. Talk about the power of the preach. So I kept hearing this word. When God speaks to me at times, he'll just keep saying one word over and over and over. And it's like it'll drive me crazy and I'll drive my family crazy. And finally, Karen will say, you need to go to your prayer room and write that because you're about to get on our nerves. Because I'm antsy, about to give birth to something. And I kept hearing the word resonate. And I'm like, Lord, why are you speaking this to me? And I began to study it. The word resonate, let me give you a definition of the word resonate. To produce or be filled with a deep, full, reverberating sound. The sound of the siren resonated across the harbor. Chiefly, though, to meet with someone's agreement. I share about it a little bit tonight, but years ago when I had an encounter on the beach and Karen and I, and the Lord said, ask me for the keys to the kingdom. Keys means power and authority. Matthew 16:19, Isaiah 22:22. And I'm walking down the beach about a year later, and Karen and I, Philippians 4:6, it means we come into agreement with thankfulness of heart. We have a list of things we pray for, our family, our ministry, our businesses, whatever it might be. And we're walking down the beach, and as we're walking down the beach, and I'll share this some more tonight, suddenly as we're praying, we were at the late Steve Hill, Evangelist Steve Hill's board meeting. He had already gone to heaven, but we were there for his wife. And we said, God, give us the keys to the kingdom. And at that exact moment, there laying in the ocean with nobody else on the beach was a key. And God said, I'm going to give you keys. Can I preach a key? This is a key to your freedom. Little keys unlock big doors. Big doors swing on little hinges called obedience. Everybody wants keys. Everybody wants doors, but they're not willing to live by that little thing called it obedience. Because suddenlies are preceded by obedience. There's no such thing as a suddenly. It's leaning in. It's showing up on a Sunday morning and saying, okay, God, I'm ready for this thing to happen. And so I want to preach the word resonate. I'll get deeper into what that even means. But it's 1 John 1:3. So we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard about this life giver so that we may share and enjoy this life together. For truly our fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus the Anointed One. We proclaim, it's Revelation 19:10, that prophecy is the testimony of the Christ. In other words, everything declares Jesus. So this message is not a normal message. This isn't a message that you would hear in a lot of places. In fact, I can't preach this in a lot of places. But this is for the cave dwellers, the ones that have been waiting on God to pass by, the ones that are saying, God, I gotta have a miracle. I don't know what's been spoke the last couple of nights, and I know it was powerful. I don't know what's going to be spoke tomorrow night, but my assignment is simply to come and say, what if heaven is speaking over you today? What if? Because I have to bring a message that's been lost in the noise of the culture and the chaoticness political stuff and all the other things that is going on, and understanding a world that believes, for most of us, that what we believe is a myth. But God spoke to my heart. He said, raise up the preachers again. Over the last few years, many years, we've seen over 800 sent into full-time ministry. We used to have a school of ministry, and we launched those. But I do believe that this house has been called to raise up and send out. This is an apostolic ground. Somebody give God a praise. I just want to make sure you're getting this so far. Now, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture, because what I have to say cannot compare to the word. And I love Isaiah 58. It's the fasting chapter. And it says, those from among you shall rebuild the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundation of many generations. You shall be called the repairs of the breach, the restore of the paths in which to dwell. It's those that walk in that. I love what Tozer said probably 65, 70 years ago. He said the most critical need of the church this moment is men, bold men, free men. The church must seek in prayer and much humility the coming again of men made of the stuff of which prophets and martyrs are made. We need men and women to rise up. It's an understanding. One of my favorite quotes, and I keep this in my prayer room and where I write books, and Sir Richard Baxter of Kidderminster said this 300, 400 years ago. He said, I preached is never sure to preach again as a dying man to dying men. Do you understand? I'm preaching on the power of the preach. I don't know if you've ever heard a sermon on preaching, but you have to understand, it's not just some art. It's not just some fine arts moment. It's not just what we can watch on somebody's YouTube video. It's about getting a word from heaven. In other words, something comes down, something goes out. If you meet it in agreement, miracles happen. There it is. It's now starting to happen. When you begin to come into agreement with something, everything shifts. I'll prove it to you. It's an understanding. See, God gave us formulas all through the Bible. I'm a simpleton, so I love simple formulas that I can remember. Karen wrote about this in Restore the Roar when she when the Lord spoke to her at her darkest moment with leukemia, and he spoke to her power, love, and soundness of mind, and then she broke it down, what it means. I can't do it justice, but it would blow your mind if you walk in power, love, and soundness of mind. You literally change the atmosphere. That's a formula. Formula in God's word. Ask, seek, knock. There's formulas all through the word that he gives, and if you do it, watch what happens. Declare, believe, and watch. Just, I'm going to give you some formulas. Pray, petition, agree. Formula. Faith to sow, power to receive. Formula. Give, and it shall be given to you good measure. That's a formula. Here's one most don't know about that I wrote about it in my book, Unqualified. Isolation. Confrontation, consecration. In other words, the greater the anointing, the greater the isolation. What I've learned, that when God begins to use you as a donkey that he rides in on, I've learned nobody prophesies over quiet days, but it's the quiet days that knit together the loud days. It's an understanding. Jesus proved it. Remember? Jesus goes into the water. John baptizes him. He comes up out of the water. Dove comes off of him, signifying Holy Spirit. And at that exact moment, the heavens tore. Right here in Ahoskie, you would have heard God say, the entire earth heard it, over the intercoms of heaven, "This is my son." What did Jesus do? I mean, I'd have held a crusade right then, taking an offering, honestly. I'm like, y'all got this? What did Jesus do? He went into the wilderness. Being full of the Spirit, led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, and literally came to the point of death. No food, no water. Until the angels ministered to him. Defeated all three temptations, which all sins follow under those three temptations. So isolation, confrontation, and then what does it say? Being led out of the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, his ministry began to spread. Jesus understood you have to have the wilderness before the stage. Many wildernesses. But I want to teach you a new one. I'm going to preach on it for a second. Again, I'm preaching resonate. You're like, what in the world does this mean? Watch, because God said, you're going to talk about the power of the preach. In a day and age of motivational talkers, in a day of self-help sermons, can I preach what happens when the preach takes place? Showing in many ways the life you chose to lead. Traveling around the world preaching. The harshness of it. The exhaustion of it. That when you show up, it's not just another sermon. If it was released in heaven's furnace, then you have to understand. And so I'm going to teach you about the repair, the resonance, and the awareness. It's a new formula. I just want you to get it, because understand, I'm just going to start with these three and I'll be done. And God, and if you get a hold of this, we're going to see some things happen at the end here. But number one, call forth the repairers. I think they say the average age of those that preach the gospel now is like 58 years old. But I'm not talking about that you're, because I believe in priest and king. I believe that you're called to conquer land. I'll talk about tonight that tonight. You walk in both. You're called to conquer land, but you're also called to bring your family to the altar. You walk in both. It's 1 Peter 2:9. I can't get into that. That is tonight. We're going to release something tonight. But you have to understand, I believe that when I call forth the preachers, I'm not talking about the ones that stand on stage and pick up a microphone. I'm talking about those that live this thing. Those that walk it out every day. Help me preach for a second. You got to give me, I'm preaching for a second. Those that understand, you release something. I'm talking to every mama in here that when they drop their babies off at school, they break things off of them when they go in and break things off of them when they come back. I'm talking about every father that has the anointing to shift their family. There's an understanding. You carry something. You are a temple, not a shack. Take the for sale sign down. He inhabits you. You should cause demons to tremble. I sit down on planes almost every single week, and periodically I'll sit down and some business guy will be beside me, and he'll say, "What's different about you?" And I'm like, I'm just looking at my phone. just catching up on the garbage. I'm just scrolling, looking at everybody else's life. You go, but I feel something different. Major leaders in America that I've sat with, they go, what's different? And that's when you learn how to bow down, bow out rather, and say it's him. So I've got to preach this. I've got to hurry. I got to hurry. Because you understand, when you call forth the repairers and the torch bearers, it's Matthew 5, verse 16, so don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly. So that your commendable works will shine as light upon them, and then they will give praise to Jesus, not you. God doesn't care about your ministry. He cares about his name. Isn't about all the fluffy stuff anymore. No more celebrity Christianity. The only roped off area in the Bible is where the disciples roped off and let the children through because they're the true celebrities. The only red carpet was the blood of the martyrs. Can I preach this for a second? It's an understanding that God says, I'm looking for people like this couple, looking for people that will stand up and preach and say things and get out of the way. Be the stagehand and let me shine, because there's power in the preach. And if you just decide, oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. It's Malachi 3:1. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me, and then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. We proclaim Jesus. We carry Jesus. Something is different about us. Reminded of December 7th, 2019. I'm in my prayer room. It's a Saturday morning. And all of a sudden, I hear the voice of Reinhard Bonnke. If you don't know who he was a great missionary. Led 78 million to Christ. He died at the age of 78. But he used to pour into my life greatly and was very dear to me. He wrote the foreword of my first book, Why Is God So Mad at Me? He's not mad at you. He's mad about you. But all of a sudden, I hear, I'm in my prayer closet just praying on a Saturday morning. All of a sudden, I hear the Bonnke's voice say, Pat, you must get a generation baptized in the Holy Ghost, because we've done that. We've a lot have gotten filled with the Spirit. Stadiums, it's our part of the anointing we carry in. And I hear him say, Pat, you must get this generation baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I went, wow. Because he had said it to me years ago when we were in San Francisco ministering together. And he said it to me several times. And then I got a text 45 minutes later from Andrew, who used to be in our school, that traveled with Bonnke for 12 years around the world seeing miracles. And Andrew said, Pastor Bonnke just graduated to heaven. In other words, on his way up, he had one more preach left in him. He had to release something. Understand what I'm saying. It's 1 John 1:4-5. A fountain of life was in him, for his life is light for all humanity, and this light never fails. It's an understanding. Can I just say, we need an awakening in the pulpits of America? We have to have the town criers again. I believe if you study the history of this region, there was a move of God in this region. I felt it when I pulled through yesterday. But when the voices are silent, the enemy speaks louder, and God says, I'm looking for those that will tell the truth and not care what nobody thinks. That means if you have to walk into a school board meeting and say, my kids are not reading that garbage. That means if you have to say to somebody, I'm sorry what the school told you that you were born wrong, I'm going to fix that over you, because he don't make no mistakes. This is who you are. God, the world can try to change your DNA, but he created the DNA. Help me preach. Again, if this is offensive, tough, but there's an all-out war. I preached to 2 million teenagers. There's an all-out war for this generation. And if we don't stand up, Mama Bear, Papa Bear, if we don't stand up and say enough is enough, we're not putting up with this garbage. Our kids are carriers of greatness. They are the seed God gave me. They don't belong to the school board. They don't belong to the state. They don't belong to the government. They belong to my, help me preach for a second. And when you walk in that type of authority, oh, listen, if you don't have any enemies, it's because you don't have any authority. Just ask Jesus. Because if you ain't coming up against the devil, you're flowing with him. But there's a point, there's a part where we have to stand up and say, wait a minute, where have the, I don't know if you've ever heard of Steve Hill. He died many years ago and went to heaven, but he led the Brownsville revival. I was in Pensacola last weekend, the great revival that he and Pastor John Kilpatrick, but Steve graduated to heaven. He got cancer and he died. He was a great preacher. But Steve made this statement: a man's desperation for all the things of God should melt away all preoccupation with self, notoriety, public image, and social status. Your hunger and thirst, if it's genuine, will drive you to eat and to drink regardless of the opinion of others. You will be willing to be a fool in the sight of others in order to be embraced in the arms of the Lord. Steve graduated to heaven. But I brought with me his jacket he wore during that revival. Carry it with me, because his wife Jerry gave it to our assistant Emily, who was there, and she gave it to us. And the jackets are empty in America. We're so worried about being canceled. Can I just give you a clue? You've already been canceled. Can I give you a clue that if you stand for true biblical values, you will be hated. Understanding that the jackets are empty. It's an understanding. It's going to get on you. Wore that preaching in Brownsville. So can I keep preaching for a minute longer? Because some of you are going to feel the presence of God. And oh, I forgot. Forgive me. I forgot to tell you, at any given point, the altar is open. Because when humanity meets divinity, that's an altar call. When my wife preaches, I'm the first one to the altar. Because she releases something. I want it. I want to be a part of that. And we live in a nation and a world that would rather tickle your ears than pierce your spirit. I'm going to make a statement that might make somebody mad. Good news. I believe this with all my heart. COVID has removed the voices of secular pulpits and only espoused warmed up leftovers from pastry delis and Hell's Kitchen. But the void is, there's a void in the atmosphere of spirit penetrators and those that carry the torch and those that carry a scroll from heaven. And you have to understand, if you ever wonder where the power of God has gone, you need to only look at the mainstream Christian messages that flood the airways with overinflated egos, espousing self-help sermons and watered-down talks and hyper-grace theology. And I love grace. The true definition of grace, according to Titus, is he loves me just as I am but refuses to leave me that way. What the Apostle Paul said. He said, when I came to you, I don't have good preaching skills. I didn't have this thing figured out, but I came with the power and demonstration. He said, I wasn't superior to anybody else. God has always used the repairers of the breach. I've said this, and I've said this to young preachers: get off the stage if you refuse to be his voice and you just want to be some puppet. Sounded English, didn't I? Puppet. That was fun. But you got to understand, God says, I'm going to raise up the nobodies. I wrote about this. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 through 28 in the Message Bible. It says, take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called in this life. I don't see many of the brightest and best among you, not many influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that culture overlooks, exploits, and abuses? He chose the nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. Verse 29 goes on to say, so that nobody gets the glory. He uses the unqualified. He uses the nobodies. He uses the ones no one. Oh, I got ahead of myself, because that's who God uses. He uses the consecrated nobodies. Write that down. He's going to use the ones nobody saw coming. The young man I saw up here leading worship a little while ago, I leaned over to the pastor. I said, who is he? And he began to tell me who he is, and I don't know where he's at. But I'm going, he's got it. The incredible lady that was leading worship a few moments ago. There's something special about this stage. You're not just talented, big deal. You're anointed. When you're over here playing, I literally, every time you touch it, you're prophesying over my sermon. That's what you carry. It's not just amping, although I like amping, but it's not just creating the sound for us. You are releasing your anointing. I'm going to preach without y'all in a minute. I'm about to go outside and preach. Because I looked around, I thought, well, during worship, they love to preach. I'm going to keep going. If you don't shout, I will go really long. You don't understand. God uses the most unqualified. Why? Your scars scare Satan. They are proof that you survived. I'm a drug dealer's kid. My father was a drug dealer on the streets of Detroit, worked for Hoffa. I come from a messed up, jacked up, well, I can't say jacked up because my grandson's name is Jack. I come from a wallaced up family. Sorry. I got to protect Jack. You'll see him playing for Bama. But anyway, let's move on. Or Texas. Watch. The call is a mystery. That's what Paul said in Ephesians 1 verse 9. The word mystery there is mystery, and it means I can't talk about it. I can't explain it. I don't know what makes a married couple load up and go to Southeastern when you would have done fantastic in business because you carry that. The mystery of the gospel. This thing is real. People tell me all the time, Pat, I feel the call. And I go, really? We can't even get you to show up on time because you're too busy as a keyboard commando on Facebook talking bad about everybody. Having roast pastor on the way home from church. Well, if I was in charge, you won't ever be. Unless you lead a rebellion. And so you have to understand when you walk in that. And I want to say to them, if you really feel the call, then you need to understand what 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and correctly handles the word of truth. Preaching and prophesying are not an art. And when you receive and you come into agreement with the word and God says, now I want you to release it, you're not worried about being run out of town. Why? Because you understand the power of coming into agreement. It's Isaiah, the 6th chapter, the upper room of the Old Testament. When the Bible speaks of it, Isaiah in chapter 5 said, woe to you, woe to you, woe to you. But then he has an encounter with God. And it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And he starts saying, woe is me. When you have a true encounter with God, listen what happens. He lets you see what's going on in the spirit realm. And he said, I saw angels. And the glory of the robe filled the temple. And he begins to talk, and the angels were crying, holy. And with two hands they were flying. And with two they covered their eyes, and two they covered their feet. Why? Because there's millions of angels around the throne of God right now, and every time they remove their wings from their eyes and cover back up, they see a new facet they haven't seen in the last million years. They see something new. And that's why they go, oh, he's holy over here, and one over here. It's the power of agreement. It's resonate. And one over here goes, oh, he's still holy over here. And another one screaming, holy over here. And there's such a charge in the atmosphere of agreement taking place that the smoke, the glory of God. If you will get a hold of what I'm saying, that when preaching goes forth and you come into agreement, you change the atmosphere of a city. Give God a praise. Because the word must be released from the messenger. I'm still talking about the repair. I'm getting close to being done here in a bit. 2 Timothy 4:2, proclaim the word of God and stand upon it no matter what. Rise to the occasion. Mark 16, Great Commission. Go, preach. No, don't go talk. Don't go sit on a stool and tell a soliloquism and a poem and an algorithm and yiddy yada and send them home. You come into this place, you come in no matter what kind of week you've had, because you say, I need to dwell together with others and encounter him for miracles. Give my God a praise. He gave me this word. I said, you want me to preach on resonate? He said, tell them that something happens when the preach is released. Something shifts in the very DNA of the body of Christ. Understanding. Listen, I believe this. Jeremiah 20 verse 9. See, the repairer has no... he has no choice. He's got to release it. Jeremiah said, it's like a fire shut up inside of me. He said, if I don't get rid of this thing, I'm going to die. And they better know his breath. What do you mean? Let me share what happens when you allow yourself to be impaled by a message sent from the throne of heaven. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is God breathe. That's theos neustos. You have to understand. God breathe. It's a compound word. In other words, when I was with a friend of mine in Georgia recently, a powerful church. He's got several campuses, and I go there a lot. And he serves on our board of directors for a ministry. And it was just a couple of months ago. And he gets up, and he reads two scriptures. Glory hits the building. A church very much like this, multicultural, incredible church. Jackson, Georgia, and Macon, and other places. And God wrecks the building. He read two scriptures, and God wrecked the building. That night, we were back talking after the service, and he goes, I didn't even get to preach. I said, yes, you did. He said, and we're really close. I said, Apostle, you preach. He said, what do you mean? I said, you released two scriptures. That's God breathed. In other words, when a scripture is read, come on, you need to get a hold of this. When a scripture is read, God goes, and you get infected with that Holy Ghost virus. It lands on you, and you can wear a mask all day long. And even ride in a car by yourself with a mask, which is so weird. This is the air I breathe. But listen to Dr. Fauci instead of Father God. I'll move on. But you have to understand. Again, I said I'd offend somebody, but I mean it. But watch. In 2 Timothy, it says it in the Passion Translation. God has transmitted his very substance, the very fibers of God's being in every scriptures, for it's God breathed. Can I say something? To remove your pastor's voice from your life is to remove, to relinquish the compass that God had planned out for your future. I don't feel like going today. So I just show up every now and then. And you're slowly removing the compass from your life. I want to be where the wind blows. Listen, there's a difference in watching a movie and being in the movie. You can watch a movie of a ship on the high seas or a hurricane coming through, but if you've ever lived in a hurricane, which I know y'all have, it's a little bit different when you hear the popping explosion of trees outside. I've had that happen to me a few times. I lost about 6 trees last year in Texas on my land. It had happened one time when I was out of town. My neighbor sent me pictures. I'm like, oh, we got to get the guys out there, clean all that up. Then it happened when I was there. There's a big difference in hearing about it, seeing a picture of it, and watching it on the internet, and being in the room where it's happening. Give God a praise. It's an understanding. Oh, I'm almost done. I promise. It's time for resonance to become the normal again. We know the scriptures God breathed. We know that Matthew 6:10 says, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We understand that God's saying, when I'm delivering something to you, it will go out. And even if I have to get it through a messenger, I'm going to get it to you. If you'll meet it with agreement, something changes. We know the scriptures God breathed. God's word is breath, resonated. In order to speak, you've got to resonate across the vocal cords. A sound's got to come out across it. It takes breath pushing it out. When we speak, it is our breath. Karen's favorite verse that got her through leukemia, Job 33, verse 4. The Spirit of God made me. The breath of God gives me life. That's why she launched the breathing room to tens of thousands of people. There's an understanding his breath has to go forth. Somebody take a breath. Take a breath. Remember what it says about Israel? It says when all of Israel sighed, God remembered his covenant with him. The word sigh is to release an old breath and breathe in a new. So watch this. Let me give you the definition of resonance again. And I really am getting close. Here in a second. The word resonance, this is the power of the agreed upon amen. Somebody say amen. Watch. Let me give you the physics of it. I'm not the brightest guy, but I like to study this kind of stuff. The state of a system in which an abnormally large vibration is produced in response to an external stimulation, occurring when the frequency of the stimulus is the same or nearly the same as the natural vibration frequency of a system. How many of y'all did I just literally sound like Charlie Brown's teacher? Okay, I'm breaking down. Again, I'm a redneck country boy. Watch. This is what resonance is. It's a symphony of power. Do you understand that resonance, if it's reached at a certain peak, singers up here would know this, can break glass? It's one voice. So I was preaching in Florida for a friend of mine named Jamie Jones. I think he was at Southeastern Room there. Incredible church. And I'm there on a Wednesday night, night of power, firepower or something they do on Wednesdays. And so I get there, and I've been there many, many times. And all of a sudden, I lean over to Jamie because I said, "Where's your worship leader?" He said, "Oh, he's on vacation." Guy I've known for years, too. And he said, "But we got this lady here. She's going to, she leads worship. She leads the music at our Christian school," he said, "and she's pretty great." And I said, "Awesome, awesome. I just want to know who is leading." And then all of a sudden, she gets up and starts ministering, and she starts talking about resonance. And I went, I leaned over to Jamie, my friend, and I said, "I'm literally writing a sermon about that right now." So she talks about it, and I said, "Hey, can I talk to her afterwards?" He said, "Yeah." So we had worship, we had a move of God, people got touched, it was powerful. But at the end of the service, I go up on stage, and I start talking to her, and I said, "Hey, you were talking about resonance." She said, "Yes, I'm a music teacher, incredible worship leader." But she was the substitute, so I'd never heard her. And I said, would you write me an email?" She starts explaining resonance, and I'm like, "Whoa, brain's tired, just ministered. Can you send me an email?" She said, "Absolutely." So that night, I'm in the hotel room, and I look down, I get an email from her. I'm going to read the email to you. This is just a substitute worship leader, because I didn't understand what resonance was, and I kept hearing it over and over. Amarissa Mendoza said, "As a singer, I know that the only way to achieve resonance with another singer is for both of us to listen to each other and exercise control over our voices, particularly to the vibrato and pitch." So in other words, you got a singer right here, you got a singer right here, you got a singer right here, but they're all intersecting. They're raising one sound. You're not helping me preach for a second. It's a symphony, watch. In order to match our voices to one another. This takes practice, but the more you sing with a person, the easier it becomes because you learn how to blend and listen for your partner. Watch this. The way you know the resonance has been reached is because there is a buzzing or an intense vibration in your ears that can become uncomfortable as it grows because the vibration increases. I thought, well, that's good right there. And then she starts preaching to the preacher. I didn't appreciate it, but watch. She said, "If the sound that the church makes resonates with the sound of heaven, the shaking that will take place will be unlike the shaking of us just making noise. It will be something that will grow in intensity as long as we stay in sync with the frequency and wavelength of heaven." Are you? Somebody help me preach for a second. I'm talking about, there it is. I'm talking about coming into agreement with the word when it's released. I'm talking about understanding something. Well, I got to close. In a minute, I'm going to release a prophetic word. But you got to understand. I warn you that if you, the hearer, does not have a prayer life or a life of consecration, you refuse to repent, then you will only hear the echo of yesterday's promises. So you got to do your part to come into agreement. Go ahead, soft, play softly for me, just softly. Whatever Holy Spirit did, just prophesy with that. It's an understanding. In one moment, because of what's being released, you can be radically healed. Agreement. Two or more gather. I'm going to read that to you right now. Matthew 18. So you got to do your part, come into agreement with the word, with the message. So write that down. Do your part. But if you've been living in this empty spot, it's because you forgot how to come into agreement. You're just a sitter. Sitting Christians hatch hypocrites. But when you walk in this place and you're like, I want some of that. I'm coming in agreement with some of that. Words coming down, words being released, raise the sails, wind begins to blow, breath of God. You stand up, I come into agreement with it. You lock into that message, it changes things. I believe this is the season of prodigals to come home. Lost children to come home. I was waiting on somebody to come into agreement with that just now. I believe this is the season where poverty gets broken. where businesses are released at night. I'm going to talk about that tonight. In your sleep, you wake up with ideas. I was dreaming last night. Literally saw a very well-known political leader standing and praying in tongues. I don't know what it means. We'll see. It was on a plane. I don't know what it means. I'll write it down. So it's an understanding that you can shift things. Matthew 18, 18. Receive this truth. This the Passion Translation. I like the Passion Translation sometimes. Receive this truth. Whatever you forbid on earth will be considered to be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you release on earth will be released, considered to be released in heaven. Again, I give you an eternal truth. If two of you agree to ask God for something in a, what? Resonate. You ever gone to see a symphony? No, warming up, it sounds awkward, but when then they come, when then all of a sudden they go, you're like, oh. It's the pit that makes the stage sound good. So don't curse where you've been. In a symphony of prayer, my heavenly Father will do it for you, for where two or more gather, come together in honor of my name, I am right there with them. Symphony. Symphony. I love what James Gall said. He's a well-known Christian leader. Agreement is a wonderful byproduct of lives that have been forged together in God's kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. I can prove the formula to you. Can I prove it real quick and we're done? You say, okay, I get it. You said the repair, the resonance, and the awareness. Well, prove it to me. Okay, Acts 4. The true birth. We've already had the birth in Acts 2. Acts 1:8, verse 2:4. We see the birth of the New Testament church, but this is when the church comes together. Acts 3 and 4, we see the church coming together. And by the way, the greatest mega church in the Bible, because I hate the term mega church, I think it's stupid. I'm sick of it. But put me in a place that understand the greatest mega church in the Bible was 120 people that set the world ablaze. That's the mega church. And I've been invited to a lot of, quote, mega churches, and I'm their once a year Holy Spirit guy. But I want to be in the place that's used to it. I want to be in the place that has encounters that will have a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. What's wrong with y'all? Nobody does that. Impact. So let me show you this. I'm just going to read it to you and I'm done. The formula, the repair, the resonance, and the awareness. What is the repair? Releases God's word. Two voices, God and the repair. Resonance begins to happen. Remember, that's what I read to you. And it's the harmony of the voices. So look at Acts 4:31. 4:31. See. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with the word of God boldly. And all the believers were one in heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. Let me break this down for you. If you go to Acts 4. You go back to verse 23. Peter and John are released from prison. They begin to preach the testimony of Christ. The repairers were sent. They get out. They start talking about Jesus. They gave the very resume of Jesus in this verse. I'm not going to take time to read it. The repairer. Acts 4, 23 through 30. Then the residents. Verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And then the awareness of God. Acts 4, 32. All the believers were one in heart. No one claimed anything as their own possessions, no land, but they shared everything. With great power, the apostles continued to testify the resurrection of Jesus. And from time to time, those who had things to give would come and lay it at their feet. Houses sold. What am I talking about? It's an understanding, church. That when you do this formula, you will shake this city. The entire city will be shaken. It's an understanding
that when the word is released, you come into agreement, it shifts things. He doesn't just sit down on a Saturday night and say, "Well, all right, Lord, give me something." He's a preacher's preacher. It's all, the minute you get done on a Sunday morning, it already starts. It'll drive a man crazy. I mean, the minute you get done, you get in the car, you're going to eat next week. Because there's one word, and I write about this, that describes ministry. It's constant. You can be on a cruise, but you're still thinking about it. It'll wear you out. But this morning, Holy Spirit sent to me to say to this house, what if we came into agreement? Go ahead and stand with me. Stand with me. I'm going to show you something real quick. Here it goes. It's going to hit the room. It's going to hit. It's going to hit. It's going to hit. We've got to find those that will wear the jacket again. Got to find those that will carry this thing. Every revival has a sound. I study all the revivals. I can take you back to the Welsh revival, where they still say today there in Wales, if you go there. 17 teenagers started a move of God led by a man named Evan Roberts, and they could say you can still hear angels singing when you pull into the driveway at Moriah Chapel. Some dear friends of mine own all that property now. Every revival has a sound. Azusa Street, where a black man and a white man came together and led a movement in L.A. And literally they would call the fire engines to come because they could see fire coming out of the building. It's when Pentecost hit America. Every revival has a sound. One of my great favorite revivals, and I study them. In fact, a very dear friend of mine called me last night. I have benches from the Great Awakening revival. I don't know if you saw it on the news, but the church I preach at in Connecticut all the time, one of the first 30 churches in America, the building caved in yesterday, or this week, 2 days ago. Friend of mine named James, who pastors it, I have benches from his church that have heard Whitfield. And the revival hit America. Called me last night at the hotel. But every revival has a sound. Oh, hold on, I want to show him something. Hold on 1 second. Hold on 1 second, and we're going to come into that. Can I show you just a real quick video? Keep standing, and God's going to hit. So Pastor John Kilpatrick is very dear to me. He wrote the foreword for Rebuilding the Altar. He led the great revival at Pensacola. If you've never heard of the Brownsville Revival, he was the pastor of it. But he sent me this video on a Saturday night. Now, there's two people that I do not open stuff up on Saturday night, Rodney Howard Brown and John Kilpatrick, because if I open something they send me, I won't sleep. Drives me crazy. But I opened this video he sent me. See, one of my favorite revivals was a revival that was off the coast of Scotland, 1947 to 48, 49. And a man named Duncan Campbell was the evangelist there. And it was a great revival that lasted for three weeks. So Pastor Kilpatrick was preaching about that revival and the move of God that happened at Brownsville. But I'm only showing you this so you can hear the end of the video. Watch this video, and I'm done. Hear that sound? That's a prayer meeting. You hear that sound? That's a prayer meeting. That's called Resonate. So at the first, you'll hear the great leader of that revival that happened. It's called the Hebrides Revival. You'll hear an old preacher telling the story.
The moment that that happened in the bar, a hell was let loose in Bible that shook the whole village.
That's the Hebrides Revival. Listen to the background. That's my goal.
God seemed to be everywhere.
That's real prayer meetings.
What was that? Revival?
We're 30 years past due for a move of God in America.
Tears in his eyes, he said, there's six of us who were like when the father of the revival was still alive. He said, we meet together occasionally. When our wives are in bed, he said, we sit there and we talk about those days, and he said, we can't stop crying. And he said this. He said, the reason that the Hebridean revival came was leadership didn't know what to do with it. Didn't know how to structure it.
Just, I'm having you watch this because of the end.
And this old man got hold of my friend, who's probably about 30 years old, grabbed him by the collar, looked at him in his arms, his piercing eyes, and he said, son, when you get it, whatever you do, don't let go of it.
You hear the revival sounds? It's real.
Before revival broke out, friend, in this church, there was times I came down to this church and I would lay on the front row. Something deep. I would walk these floors and I would cry out loud. I knew nobody was around. I knew nobody could hear. And I lift my voice sometimes, but I would be hoarse and I'd say, God, there's more. There's got to be more. God, I'm dying inside. And I'd lay there sometimes and still quiet in a fetal position on that front row. And then I would hear the Lord say, keep going after me, son. You'll find me.
You'll see Steve right there, I believe, wearing that jacket. Or one like it. What if God broke out in this place? What if you came into agreement with the word that was just released? What if you said, my city, my region? Now listen, here's what I, this is the whole reason why I played it. That's real prayer meetings. That's called resonate. That's a real prayer meeting during that revival. It's called the sounds of revival. Keep it going for me, Doug. Have you been doing this so long you forgot what it was like to get washed? Have you been doing this so long that you've become a professional Christian? That won't get you killed in other countries. Raw Christian gets you killed. Have you been doing this so long in our westernized Christianity? Is somebody in another nation today is getting put to death for preaching the gospel? Have you been doing this so long? You don't need this anymore? Have you been doing this so long you don't need a miracle? I know what it's like for 1 year to worship in the morning and worship at night, that the spirit of cancer would leave my house. When I'm watching my wife's body deteriorate from leukemia, and then God literally changed her DNA. and tell me. There it is. There it is. There it is. There it is. He's here. He just walked in. He's here. He just walked in. Come on, Doug. Come help me. I want you to cry out to the Lord. Go.
Oh, God. Jesus, help me, yes, Lord.
This is the Father of Reach. Go. Father of Reach.
Jesus. Oh, Lord, my God, my God. Oh, Lord. Oh, my God, my God. Oh, God.
I need you to keep going. You're breaking something.
Oh, my God, Lord. Jesus, help me, Lord.
I hear a sound. Hear a sound. Hear a sound, so God, da, da, da. I hear a sound. Oh, de, de, de. Now you flow with that on this one. I hear a sound, Lord. It's the sound of the prodigal. Spirit of revival is here. I didn't bring it with me. It was already here, man. You can turn that off. Just play prophetically for me. Real soft, real soft, real soft. I hear a sound of revival. See, that's old school. I know. Trust me, I've heard it. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back 30 years. I don't want to go back 40 years. I don't want any of that. I don't want to go back to any of the revivals. I want today. I hear a sound. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it.
That's it. That's it. Jesus.
I hear a sound. If you say this is weird for me, I get it. 1 Corinthians says eager to desire the gifts. That's all we're doing. Just keeping up with the word. Just shut your eyes and raise your hands across this place. The Lord is visiting pews right now. I normally say everybody come down, but I always do because I'm an altar call guy. But I feel like the Lord is visiting pews right now. That's what I feel like he's doing. It's like he's depositing on different key. Walk with me, Doug. I don't know where you're at. Hear the sound of the children coming home. If I say something that agrees with your spirit, say it, amen, just or cry out. Hear the sound of a family being restored. Hear the sound of healing in our bodies. See, when Jesus said it is finished, that's a perpetual term. Kind of like who will go for me in Isaiah 6. It means it is still happening in the atmosphere. He is still screaming, it is finished, it is finished, it is finished, it is finished. It was so powerful, that sound wave, that it ripped a 6-foot wall of religion. It was so powerful that it blocked out the heaven and shook the earth. And until you get an it is finished in your life, you'll never join in with the power of the cross. Because it is finished, then runs into he is risen. Those two terms are now running through the atmosphere, landing in places. with every eye shut across this place, I only do that just because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but sometimes I don't care because I don't mind being embarrassed when it comes to freedom, when it comes to healing, when it comes to restoration. It is finished. It is finished. Somebody say it's finished. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Prophesy that. Prophesy that. It is finished. I hear the sound of revival blowing through a husky. Blowing through Carolina. Every eye shut. If you say, Pat, I have sin in my life and I need the Christ to change me, if I confess and believe, I'm saved. The only one that can save you is Jesus, the Christ. And I would be held in contempt of my office if I didn't do this right now. Some of you have felt the gripping power of conviction, and don't let shame land on you. Let freedom come with it. Because conviction breaks, not condemnation. It means you have nowhere to go when you're condemned. Conviction says you're guilty, but I know someone that already paid the price. And with every eye shut across this place, if you say, Pat, I am tired of not being free. I want Jesus to be the complete Lord of my life. If you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is the Lord. The very business card of Jesus is, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's the card he hands out. And if you say, Pat, I need Jesus to forgive me and change me, at the moment you raise your hand, you're actually grabbing his hand on the cross where he declares it's finished. If you say, Pat, I got junk in my life, I got garbage in my life, and I want to be free right now. If that is you, raise your hand. Yeah, I see your hand. Raise it up. Hands are going up all over this place. Who cares what anybody thinks? I don't care. I don't give a rip what nobody thinks. Hear the sound of salvation. Hands that have gone up. Come on, raise it higher. Raise it higher. Keep raising. I'm talking to students in here. I'm talking about adults in here. I'm talking to mamas. I'm talking about dad. I'm talking to grandfathers. I'm a grandpa. I got 3 grandbabies. You say, Pat, I need Jesus to change me. Lift your hand up. Hear the sound of revival. Now raise the other hand with it. In fact, everybody in the house, lift both hands. So many hands were raised a minute ago. But with your hands raised, would you pray this boldly? Say, Jesus. Look, recently my grandson went out of our driveway, went shooting down the street on his little hoverboard thing or whatever it was, scooter. And I saw a car coming and I screamed, Andy. He froze. I said, get off the street. It wasn't time for Pappy to be a good guy. When you call in the name of Jesus, you know what it does? It arrests the atmosphere. Everything stops. So when we say Jesus, we say it with boldness and power and authority, because literally every demon in hell scurries and every angel turns to see. So let's do it again. Jesus. Today, say it, today, I need you. I'm coming into agreement with the word that was spoken from the cross. It is finished. Send the wind of God. Send the earthquake.
block out anything in my life. Wash over me with your love. Say this boldly. You are, now this will get you killed in other nations. Say, you are the Christ, the one true God. There is no other God. Today, I'm asking you to forgive me, restore me, and take over. It is finished. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost across this room. You say, I don't know how to do that. Just ask. Just ask. He'll fill you right now. How do I get filled with the Spirit? It's a language between you and God. What if I don't get it? So what? Can you mess it up? No. Can you go to heaven without it? Yes, but you need it for work. So all over the house, begin to pray in the Spirit. It'll flow up out of you. It's a language between you and heaven. See, what's happening across this room is resonating. Begin to pray louder in the Spirit all over the room. Come on, ready? Louder. I'm looking for some warriors that can pray. I'm looking for a teenager that can pray loud. I'm looking for a young adult that can pray loud. They don't care what not. I'm looking for a mama to cry out on behalf of her family. When we do this together, everything hitting the same time. This prayer, that request. But when it hits, it creates a catalytic moment. It creates something that breaks in the atmosphere. It begins to shift things. It's the power of agreement. We're going to praise Him. Oh, we praise you, Lord. If you need healing in your body, lift both hands. In fact, if you need healing in your body, we're almost done. I want you to walk down here. Because I was about ready to hand it to the pastor, and the Lord said, I want to heal somebody. If you're battling in your body and you say, I want to be healed, walk down here. Come on. Gonna break some cancer today. Gonna break some heart issues today. Here comes the Lord. I was done, and the Lord said, you're not done. And I promise you, I'd rather get in trouble for going too long than get in trouble with Him. I've done that a few times. Gonna heal today. Cancer's leaving this room today. And when I say something, would y'all come into agreement with it? Cancer's leaving this room today. Diabetes will bow to the King today. I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. Lift your hands. You're about to get healed in this room. I want y'all to, those that are back there, that maybe you're feeling great right now, stretch your hands out. Gonna get healed in this room today. All over the room. Say this out loud. Your word declares. Say this out loud. Your word, real soft. Your word declares in Psalms 103. You forgive my sin. We just did that. Say that. We just did that. Now we're going to go to the back of the cross. Because He's a 360 cross. And say, Lord, your word says, not only do you forgive my sins, you heal my disease. So in Jesus' name, healing hit my body. Healing hit my body. Healing hit my body. Doug, I'm going to need your help. Healing hit my body. Healing hit my body. Now begin to pray in the Spirit across this front. No more depression. We see miracles for some reason. Healing. Sandy Alara. Healing. Just receive it. Say, I'm healed. And oh, long life. No, it ain't going to end up like that with you. It ain't going to end up like that with you. Long life. Healing. Healing. Restore. Healing. I break every word spoken over you starting at the age of 7. And I declare that this body shall be whole. I break worthless spirit that tries to come on you. Healing, healing, sweetheart, healing, healing, Come on, we're just going to pray a minute. We're just going to pray a minute. We're just going to keep pushing. If this was you that was sick, you'd want somebody to push for you. The power of agreement. Everybody say, healing hit the building. Healing. Healing. Oh, I break the words that were spoken over you, restoring. Every part of this body be put back together. Anything that is coming to this body that is not of God, get out now in Jesus' name. Healing. Healing. You are the compass of your house. You fight when no one else will fight. You're doing warfare when everybody's sleeping or playing. God says, I ain't done with you. Not till the restoration of the house. Hey! Oh, I see your... My goodness. Them legs are going to begin to work right. Flushing out of what has been in the system in Jesus' name. You fighter of injustice. Say, come on, just say it. We're almost done. We're almost done. Healing. Healing. Sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Kondara, mandala, ala la 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 ya la 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 basata la 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 dia sate. God has had you on the field of play, mentoring. But the Lord says, I am not done. Healed. 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 I didn't know this was going to go this route today. I didn't know. I didn't know. Kola la la basanda la 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 bata. Healing. On a Sunday morning, but the Holy Spirit just released me and said, Pat, don't be in a hurry to outrun my spirit. So one last thing we're going to do. Lift your hands and say, Jesus, interrupt my family. Let them hear what you're saying. Arrest them, Lord. Say this out loud. Lift up your head. Come on, say this. Psalm 24, verse 7. It's my verse for the year. I'm making you do it with me. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye ancient doors, that the King of glory might come in. It's building. Tonight, tomorrow night. I need you to be here tonight. What time? 7 o'clock. Go get your nap. Go eat. But be ready for tonight. This is a shifting day. Pastor, come on. Thank you for trusting me to minister to your house. Give my God a praise.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord praise, would you? Come on, lift up a shout to the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Listen, take those cards, make those calls, send those texts, 7 o'clock tonight. Listen, Sunday night, 7 o'clock. Don't miss it, please. Praise the Lord. Father, we bless you. We praise you. We exalt you. Thank you, God, for the moving of your Spirit in this house today. Thank you for resonating with us, Lord, in the power of the Spirit. Thank you for the prophetic word of acceleration for your people, God. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would meet us here tonight in the power of your presence. Help us to do our job, Lord. Help us to invite. Help us to bring. Help us to pick up whatever we have to do. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise, guys.